Happy to be joined now by Kelly Rudy of the NHL on Sportsnet Hockey Night in Canada. Kelly, thanks so much for this. Yeah, this provincial rivalry that used to be so much in favor of the Flames has really flipped this season. They're already done. We're in the middle of January. No more games left between the Oilers and Flames. Oilers swept that season series, and I'm sure the folks in Calgary, they feel very differently about these two franchises. They appear to be, I mean, one has certainly passed the other as far as perception, and they have a generational player in Connor McDavid.
Yeah, but, you know, if you go back, Ben, about, I don't know, say 10 days ago, 12 days ago or something, things were looking pretty good for the Flames also. Like, they were playing really, really well. I'm not going to argue about the generational player and how Edmonton has really improved and their maturity, because I really think that they're a legit team right now. But I would not have foreseen these sort of problems for the Flames. I kind of thought that their problems were at the beginning of the year and they'd work through them. Their system was really an easy one for them to play. I thought they were handling it quite well. And they got into this routine of falling behind in now seven consecutive games, which is incredibly difficult in today's NHL to get back, although you can climb in a little bit. But and that's been their real sore spot. And then you look at their last two games, though, and those are duds. Thursday and Saturday were two terrible games. They talked about it today at the morning skate, how they've recognized they have to be way better. It might be, it shouldn't have taken this long for the players to realize it, but nonetheless, they're in that boat, and they've got to find a way to start really well against a really good Leaf team.
Yeah, and Chad Johnson was such a great story, right, Kelly? The way he had played, and maybe it's just a bump of the road. He was lifted in the first period against the Oilers on Saturday. Is there still belief that he can be this team's number one goaltender and this team is good enough to make the playoffs with him in net?
I believe so. I'm not going to tell you that he's the best goaltender in the National Hockey League, but at times in this season, he played extremely well. He was a true starter. He was a true number one guy. Now, his game slipped just a little bit here, but so is the team's. And Saturday was a great indication of that. They needed a save. In particular, that third goal was the backbreaker, although it certainly wasn't all of Johnson's fault. Joki Paakka made a terrible decision to attack the puck carrier, which left Jordan Eberle alone. And as you know, he's a talented guy, and he finished it. So Brian Elliott has been fighting. He's trying to work his way through it. He just has not really looked as comfortable as we've seen him in the past. And he's getting the start again tonight. This is another big one for him because his previous start, not the game on Saturday, but his previous start was really good. He lost 2-1 in a shootout 9 days ago, and I think they're hoping that he can repeat that performance.
Talking to Kelly Rudy. So the Maple Leafs are still without Morgan Rielly. He's not going to play again tonight against the Flames at the Air Canada Centre, which, by the way, is on Sportsnet West. You can watch it on NHL Game Centre Live, I suppose. The Maple Leafs have tried a couple of options there in that spot. Of course, Frank Corrado gets the first start. Doesn't go so well. He's back into the press box. Martin Marincin thrown back in there on Saturday. I thought he fared relatively well, save for the moment where he cost the Maple Leafs maybe a secondary point. He flipped the puck over the glass. What are the Leafs looking for out of that guy? Like, I feel like certainly nobody's Morgan Rielly. You're not asking Martin Marincin to be Morgan Rielly. You're asking for more minutes out of Jake Gardner without Rielly in the lineup. But are we just expecting to see those minutes not be spectacularly used, but somebody who doesn't make massive mistakes like, unfortunately, Marincin made in the final minutes on Saturday?
Yeah, usually when you have a guy filling in, you just hope that he doesn't make the critical error at the wrong time. So give him some good matchups. Make sure that he makes the right play, the safe play. And in this case, with the Leafs team, just move the puck forward. I mean, they're a really dangerous, fast-skating team. So put the puck in the right position. Make sure that those guys that are great at stick handling and moving the puck and stuff, they have the ability to do just that. Don't put the puck in their feet. Put it tape to tape. Give them a chance to make a play.
Talking to Kelly Rudy, the Maple Leafs, they stink in the shootout, Kelly. It's so bizarre. And it's hey, you think it's just an anomaly, it's a weird thing, 1 in 6, it's like a coin flip. They've just been really bad in coin flips. I suppose, but, and you know they're working on it. Mike Babcock says it's something they address in practice, every practice. They work on their shootouts. A couple of things here. Is there a strategic problem with the Maple Leafs? Can they fix this? Is there some way to fix it? Or is it just a weird thing? And is it fair? Like, are you on board with abolishing the shootout, although I don't think it'll ever happen?
Well, first of all, I'll answer that last question. No, yeah. I love the shootout.
Do you?
I absolutely do. It still remains to me one of the things that still gets me out of my chair. If I'm at home in my office watching a game and it goes to a shootout, I typically stand up and walk a little bit closer to the screen, and I'm mesmerized by a number of things. Just how talented the players are, how oftentimes they're the youngest guys on the team, and how innovative they are in comparison to my generation, where it used to be an older guy, you wouldn't try anything fancy. You would have thought that if you tried something fancy, you'd be called a hot dog or a show off or something. Mm-hmm. So I just loved how the mindset has changed, the culture has changed, and that these guys do things that we've never seen before. I just can't believe how quick their hands are now and how oftentimes they get in tight and they're able to roof the puck bar down better than ever. It's not even close. So that's that one. The other thing is I don't think that you can really make sense of it. You can address it all you want, but sometimes there's luck, sometimes there's overthinking, sometimes the other goaltender has a huge role in it. There's just all sorts of different variables, and I don't know if there's any way to make sense of it other than I just find it exciting.
Yeah, I suppose. I mean, once it gets to a shootout, everybody's standing, right?
Yeah.
How did you, as a goaltender, how did you feel about the Mitch Marner shootout goal?
I thought, first of all, I thought it should have been an illegal goal or not counted. To me, it looked like the puck stopped moving forward.
Mm-hmm.
The referee, of course, looked at it and decided that wasn't the case. He thought that there was still forward momentum with the puck. I would disagree from what my eyes told me, but I mean, you can have that argument. I think when we were watching it behind the scenes, Elliot Friedman thought it was a goal. Nick Kypros agreed with me that he thought the puck had stopped.
Mm-hmm.
I think his body kept moving forward, and maybe that's what threw off the official, but I can't speak for him. And secondly, I didn't think that there was goalie interference, so I didn't think that a skate touched the pad of the goalie.
Before I let you go, Kelly, so the Maple Leaf fans here in Toronto get their first look at Matthew Tkachuk, who has a nice little case to be involved in the Calder Trophy conversation. It really feels like it's Austin Matthews is to win right now, but you've seen him a bunch. Tell us about the season Tkachuk has had this year.
Well, if you're going to watch the game tonight live or on TV, you're going to love him. He is he's a really cool player to watch. He's fully engaged every single game, and that's one thing about him that I didn't really know. I watched him just a little bit in training camp. In fairness, I was here in Toronto working the World Cup, so I didn't see much of the Flames training camp. And when I did see him, I thought he was okay, and that's about it. I didn't think he was quite ready for the National Hockey League, and boy, was I ever wrong, because once the season started, then he was the player that I had been told about. He's nasty. He's in your face. He'd go after anybody. He'll go after the star player on the other team. He's really good hands. He's not the fastest skater you're ever going to see, but he gets there well enough. And I just love the way in which he shows up for work every night, and he hates to lose. The other thing I really enjoy about him is that he's just a big hockey fan. And I say that because sometimes you have guys, and there's no right or wrong answer. Some guys are really involved in what's going on around the league, and they like to watch. Other guys think that just playing your games and practices is enough. And neither says there's no right or wrong answer. But he is a guy that really loves to watch the games and has an opinion on the whole league and junior and everything.
Yeah, and the Vancouver Canucks, the Edmonton Oilers, the Columbus Blue Jackets probably feeling like they may have whiffed in letting him slide to six so far for the Flames. Kelly, thanks so much for this. Appreciate it.
Yeah, my pleasure, Ben. Thanks. I'll talk to you soon.